My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best. May the Force be with you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast, where we talk all things Star Wars. My name is Colin.
I'm Christian.
I'm Hunter.
Star.
Josh.
Wow, we didn't mess up this week. Awesome. All right. What an intro. This was a very exciting, adventurous episode of The Bad Batch. We're about to do a full breakdown. There were callbacks to Indiana Jones. Hunter cannot give me crap this time. So
I'm not giving you crap. I agree.
and not just Indiana Jones, but there were preferences to other projects, and including did someone say the game Horizon, right?
Yeah, Horizon it felt Zero. Like yeah. There was a Horizon Zero Dawn reference.
Cool.
In there.
Yeah, that Goonies. I felt like there were a lot of tropes to a lot of different types of films and shows that are adventure based. And then we have news about potentially Solo 2 and season 2 of Kenobi. And then the Skeleton Crew just got done filming their show, which is also coming out later this year. But we're first going to break down the Bad Batch. So we are starting off on the planet like of Ord Mantell, like we always do, and they were going through different junk and they were looking for certain ship parts, and Omega finds this small compass, which at first the first thing that popped in my brain was that it looked like the dial of Destiny from Indiana Jones 5, of what we saw in the trailer, because it was like a small circle like it is. And I was like, oh, cool. And then I didn't even think about like that it would, you know, play any big, large role. And then turns out it's a very important thing in the episode. And they go back and we see our new pirate character. And she doesn't really identify as a pirate. She's a liberator. Yes. And she also carries a sword. So like an actual pirate would, which I think is the first time we ever saw that in Star Wars, right?
Hondo has a sword that he uses.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
In the arc where he's fighting the Zabrax, Maul and Savage. With Obi-Wan, yeah. He pulls out a sword.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Commando droids have swords.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well. I mean, I was talking about like an actual pirate, like in the show. Like, okay, cool. Swords. Anyways, they talk about a rare treasure that dates back to thousands of years, even before the Jedi. And I thought that was a very interesting take. And I didn't even think about it until we were just talking about it. But and it sounds like, and it looks very similar to what we saw in Jedi Fallen Order with the Zepho. It hasn't been 100% confirmed that the temple was like from the Zepho, but now I see a lot of the similarities,
yeah.
But we'll see. Of the revelations that will happen from that. But in your guys' opinion, how did you like this adventure-based type episode where it wasn't?
We have all the characters together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even if they get split up for a little bit, I was like, and then we got them back again, like almost immediately.
Yeah. I was really happy that they were all back in one spot. Because as much fun as it is to see the Batch in different, like, you know, missions doing their own kind of thing, they are the Bad Batch. Like, they need to be a group for this to work.
Yeah. Star?
Yeah. I liked it. It was very fun. I am definitely the person that likes a little bit more of the plot, kind of centric stuff. So like, I thought it was a fun side quest. Certainly mm-hmm. was a little bit like more low key, and I probably would have. I was a little bit more excited to see some more of the plot coming off of the last episode, which was a little bit world building. But it was certainly fun.
Yeah, I'm in that same boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
cross it, but yeah, I surprised by that.
I was surprised by just all of the different references and the inspirations that this episode took, because we got, you know, stuff from Indiana Jones and the Goonies and just a lot of that stuff. I love the 80s, so I was all for it. I loved it. They then take a closer look at the compass. They open it. Not open it, but they, like, you know, they find something very mysterious about it. And then I believe her name is Fiji, right? Or no?
Isn't it Fee?
Yeah, I thought it was just Fee.
Fee,
yeah.
Fee. Oh, okay, Fee. Fee then... Sorry. Fee then kind of takes charge and is like, you know, this is kind of a treasure map. This can take us to a very exotic, fun place. And there's a chance that it can bring all of you great fortune. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was when Hunter and Echo and all of them were just sitting there. Was it me, or did Tech look like he was wearing a Han Solo type vest? Because I think he was wearing a Han Solo type vest, and some of the other characters weren't wearing the armor at all, and they look like they were wearing more smuggler type outfits.
We're starting to see them out of armor.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
Which is a unique look.
That threw me off for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's been cool to see them have multiple costume designs.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah. I'm sure that they love their armor, but it looks uncomfortable. And like, it's fun to see them be like, oh, they're people. They've got their armor. They've got their other outfits. They change it up.
Of course, Hunter and Wrecker and everyone is not going to stick in their chest and back plate with the backpack on all day.
Yeah.
I should hope not.
I think I was just surprised to see them wearing more smuggler type outfits. I think the big thing that threw me off was Tech was wearing a Han Solo type vest. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, all right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But then they all agree to go on this adventure, even though most of them were like, I don't think we should trust her, but you know what? We need the credits and everything, so we might as well. And they all get on the ship, and then they go to the planet. And I think we've talked about it every episode, but the animation has come so far because mm-hmm. as they're arriving on that planet, my goodness, that looked very close to live action.
It was crisp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It was awesome. The planet also reminded me of the one from season 2 of Mando, where Mando goes and where he searches for Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was the first planet that popped in my head. But the planet sounds like it has not been inhabited for a very long time. We're not really told why. We find out later kind of why. But they land, and the entire crew, except Omega, like, finally believe Fee about the compass, because as soon as they get to the planet, the compass starts making a noise and it starts to glow, and they're like, oh, it's real, shoot. And they start to go around the planet until they run into the mountain, and then they end up making their own entrance, and they walk into the cave, which ends up being the beginning of the temple. Mm-hmm. And they start to do their first puzzle, which which opens, you know, the inside of it, but it closes the outside of where they came in. And I thought that was kind of a tie-in to the Temple of Doom, of where like it started to collapse. And then it also reminded me of stuff from Jedi Fallen Order. How do we like the puzzle aspect like in this episode? Because there were a lot of different puzzles in this, and it definitely was a reminder of Jedi Fallen Order and other projects like that.
Personally, I always stop. Oh, sorry, Josh.
No, you're good. You're good. Go ahead.
Personally, I always feel like puzzles in games make sense because they're a game device. They're element designed to help you feel like you're progressing the story. They don't translate, I think, as well in show form.
Yeah.
Just because you instead of being part of solving the puzzle, goodbye, Hunter. His Wi-Fi is his Wi-Fi.
It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah. Then, instead of being part of opening the story, you then have to see them interact with these puzzles, which is a little different.
Welcome back, Hunter. I agree. I actually think the puzzle aspect kind of threw me off a little bit because there was one part that I liked, and I liked that they were trying to give you this like super piratey episode. Like, I loved all the pirate vibes. I loved all the secret, you know, map and the swords, and like they did a really good job with that. On the other hand, I felt like it was a little forced. They had a little bit of forced story because Tech immediately stops talking. He does not try to help with any of the puzzles. He doesn't input any of his like genius tech stuff. I thought that was a little odd to have. Like, I see that they're trying to make Omega kind of this like driving character, and that's cool, but it felt a little bit out of character to have Tech have like no quippy lines when they're trying to do the puzzle aspect. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I was waiting for more like Batch interaction with the puzzle, and it just kind of wasn't there. And it was like kind of, I don't know, it translated weird to me, but that's me.
I get that, and I would kind of agree too, and I would chalk it up to them just wanting to emphasize Omega.
Yeah.
And her sense of wonder and amazement. I guess we got a little bit of it at the beginning in the room when they're spinning the stuff around, but after that, they did kind of just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's her kind of defining characteristic, is being the person who it still has that feel of wonder. And I feel like giving her own kind of like swashbuckling kind of adventure tale feeds more into her expertise. Whereas our last episode focusing on Tech makes sense because he's so scientific and like technologically based. Whereas this is more kind of like adventure, swashbuckling, wonder, mystery, which I feel like Omega fits in perfectly for that. Mm-hmm. So for this episode being an Omega-based kind of feel, I'm like, cool, she's coming into her own. And I feel like this is going to be more of her being like setting her apart in an actual part of the team. I do feel like we're getting more episodes that are trying to justify her as her character, her own character right now, mm-hmm. as opposed to being like just a background damsel in distress kind of feel.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I was also happy to see that we got more creatures in this episode, because of the creature that comes in, I don't think we've ever seen before. I know Josh was saying that it kind of
It reminds me of a gore. Yeah. It's not, but it definitely reminds me of one.
And I don't think, because of, I really can't think of any other like creature that it can resemble. I know that we will kind of be getting different cross species of creatures this year, because we are getting the giant wampa in Jedi Survivor, but it's not a wampa. So it's like a jungle wampa or something like that. I don't think we have an official name for it yet, but that thing is a beast, because that thing is like almost 10 feet tall. Like, I think it's larger than a wampa from Hoth, but I like how we are getting new creatures in Star Wars when we have new projects like this, and it just adds more to the universe, because the Star Wars universe is so big. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just excited to see more creatures and things like that. But we then, you know, hear the conversation from Fee and the rest of the group of where this temple you know, is old, and it's, you know, not, you know, Jedi old. It's older than the Jedi. And that's a reference to the Zepho, which is what we were talking about. And these creatures have different temples across the galaxy. This might be one of those temples. It wasn't confirmed. It's definitely hinted at. But how do we feel about that tie-in to Jedi Fallen Order?
I know
Josh is excited.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's a Zepho reference, especially when they activate the Heart of the Mountain and it turns out to be a gigantic weapon. The head of the beast reminds me of the head of the Zepho. It also definitely, the laser is the same one that the Guardians use in the video game. There's definite references to it. I don't know if it's the exact same. Nothing has been confirmed yet. But that I was very intrigued when I saw that. I was like, ooh, very cool. And I mean, the Zepho lore of what we know from Fallen Order is ancient Force users that predate before the Jedi. And they basically killed each other when they split apart, knowing the differences between... I think we have like the Bendu saying it's the Ashtar and Bogan. When they figured out the differences between each other and leaning into the dark side, they destroyed themselves. There's a whole big mission of it in Jedi Fallen Order that explains it a little bit more, but that's what I got from this one. I was like, ooh, wow, we're getting some spicy references, and I was very happy with that.
I also thought they were referencing the Bendu as well, because that species we don't know and that much about except what we got from Star Wars Rebels, and I hope that we definitely touch on them in the future, because I love the idea that it's not just black and white, where it's like, you know, you're either in the light side or the dark side. There was always in Legends there was always like the gray Jedi and stuff like that, and now the gray Jedi technically isn't canon anymore, but I love the fact that you definitely have.
Not technically isn't canon. It's
not canon, gone. Yes.
Yeah. It's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Freddie Prinze Jr. will fight you if you say that to him.
Oh, I know. I remember that too. Oh, man. But I like how you definitely have Force wielders that are like that, that aren't Jedi and stuff. So I was very excited that they made a small preference and in a way to like the earlier days, like way before the Jedi and everything, because again, we are touching on history and adding to it, and I love the world building, because again, the Star Wars universe is so mass and so huge, so I love that we keep adding more to it. But we go forward and Wrecker has this encounter with the creature, which kind of causes the cave to collapse and it splits up the group. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting them to meet up until the end, but they
they meet up pretty quickly, which is pretty funny, because I was watching that episode and I was like, are these guys gonna split up? I bet you something's gonna collapse and split them up. And then it did happen, and I was like, please don't be the whole episode.
Yeah. It was the D&D thing where you're screaming, don't split the party.
Yeah.
And immediately they split the party.
It's like, oh man, come on. I was really excited, because then we got to a full out Indiana Jones Last Crusade Easter egg of where they end up walking to this circle caved area, and you see Hunter, you know, like, oh yeah, it's fine. Like, he's not even thinking, and he walks through and he just falls completely through the floor. And then they save him, and it turns out like there's like certain places where you have to step or you'll fall through the floor, just like in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Again, I love all the Easter eggs to Indiana Jones.
Yeah, and like how they use the little like compass thing to like they shine the light through it to be able to figure out the path. I was like, that's really cool.
Yep, and that was a reference to Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark of when Indy has the Staff of Ra, and he's in the map room, and it kind of points out. So it was like, oh, cool, there's another one. But yeah, how do we feel about all of these different all of these preferences that happen each week, because I feel like every week it's kind of hinting at, you know, something in pop culture, especially stuff with Lucasfilm. How do we feel about that?
If that's Dave Filoni's new kind of like shtick with him just like absolutely referencing the crap out of like anything that George Lucas has done, I'm completely for it. I think that's hilarious. That can be a fun little new trope. I don't mind that one.
Yeah, I think it is really fun, and this was the type of episode to do that with.
Yeah,
and it didn't necessarily feel like it was too over the head.
Yeah,
either it wasn't like there was a reason that they experienced things that seemed like Easter eggs. It wasn't just shoehorned in like that.
Yeah,
and it's not a new thing either. The whole Zelo Beast episode arc was all just a reference and nod to Godzilla. You look at the clone helmets, and Goji's helmet is literally just Godzilla and Godzilla's eyes on there. And it's not a new thing for Star Wars to reference other properties, or especially other Lucasfilm things that the people who work on it love. And I think it's just part of Star Wars's language at this point.
Yeah.
I also know this is not their first time of not even doing a reference, but just full out putting Easter eggs in there, because in the Clone Wars, I think it was like 4 or 5 Indiana Jones Easter eggs. Because in season 1 of the Clone Wars, there was the senator who had the Staff of Ra, and then you went to Ryloth and you saw the Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. You also had the scene of where Cad Bane is walking through one of the shops for, you know, a hat, and he picks up the Indiana Jones fedora. And it's just it's just right there. Just like there. They're just diving full, like right into that. But I like these Easter eggs because it was very tasteful. And Hunter's right; it had to do something with the plot. It wasn't like, oh, here you go, and it's not like world breaking or anything. Because I remember watching season 1 of the Clone Wars for the first time, and I just saw a couple of the droids carrying the Ark of the Covenant onto a separate ship, and I was like, oh,
wait,
okay,
a minute.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? So I thought that was, you know super, super cool that they had these, you know, different callbacks to different things in a plot, in a plot driven way.
Yeah.
But they go through that area, and then Hunter, Fee, and Omega end up, getting ready to go through, a door, and then, Echo, Tech, and Wrecker just come on through, just very, very easily, by the way, of meeting up with them, and then they're getting ready to, oh, here's another puzzle, and then Fee's
that side door was a very convenient side door for the rest of the gang to be like, oh, no, we figured out this tunnel situation. How did you guys get through? We found a hole.
Right. And they are all set to be, I think it was really cool that at that point, the whole group was kind of invested in being like, oh, it's all right. It's a puzzle. Here's our next puzzle. How's it going to go? And she's like, sometimes a door is just a door. And she just, she just pulls in the door handle and it does like a cool, like, flip thing. And the door opens. And then you have a Easter egg to Raiders of the Lost Ark of where they, go to the heart of the mountain, which this is, to me, it's kind of a Hobbit Easter egg of the, the heart of the mountain, the Arkenstone. But they end up going to the heart of the mountain, walking up to it. She then like takes it out of its spot. And then she's like, oh, it's fine. Everything's fine. And then the temple, which we find out that it's not a temple, starts to, awaken, come alive, collapse. And then, we see it wake up and it's this Zepho type, alien walker beast thing that has a giant laser. Yeah, just coming out of its face, and you're like, wow, this is really interesting and terrifying.
Reminded me a lot of Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, and it just starts destroying everything in its path, including Hunter's, his favorite droid moment. But
I just like that little guy, and they're like, got him.
I have enjoyed the Bad Batch's body count with droids in really hilarious ways in the last couple episodes. They'll just take them out, and you're like, wait, what?
It's like, oh.
Well, I feel like when that happens though, every time Hunter is slowly dying inside though.
It's not slow, but it doesn't make me less sad. Yeah. I expect it.
It just hit me that there's a second Indiana Jones reference just in the name of the planet they go to.
Oh yeah,
the name of the planet they go to is Skaranal. And in the Temple of Doom, the five stones that the part of the temple are given to Sankara,
mm-hmm.
and they have a similar carving pattern to it as well. As
yeah, they definitely have the same carving pattern.
They have that waving pattern. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So many Easter eggs. I love it. I love it.
I know. I halfway expected her to take out a bag of sand and put it on.
Yeah.
They said that the Heart of the Mountain was a
ancient Kyber crystal question mark?
They said it was something on the lines of some type of star. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a crystallized star, which was an interesting concept.
It did not act like a Kyber crystal for sure.
Well, when here's the thing.
Yeah.
I guess that could be the I think it's who says it in Rogue One, but the strongest, I think Baze says it, or maybe it's
not Baze, it's Chirrut.
Yeah,
the strongest stars of Hearts of Kyber.
I wonder if that's just part of the legend and it is a Kyber crystal or whatever, mm-hmm. but that's just how the legend portrays it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
because when I saw that, I was like, is this some kind of ancient Kyber crystal? And it started shooting a laser, and I was like, are they is it powered by the Kyber crystal the Death Star is? Is that what we're talking about here?
Well, we find out very quickly that it's not like a Kyber crystal, because as soon as they put it back in, or it could be, and it's just it's so much power that it melted the crystal. It fully melted out the crystal, which I was not expecting.
Sure.
But as they're dealing with trying to shut it off, they have the creature from before that attacked Wrecker as a added problem, and it just starts to try and eat them. And then you can definitely tell that Wrecker had enough because he just grabs it by the tail, and then they shoot the window. He throws out the window. He's like, I'm not dealing with it anymore. And he's like, raw, and he just chucks it. And we're just wow, cool.
It was very comedic to see him pick it up by the tail and just
yeah. Super Mario 64 moment.
Yeah. Really throwing, Yoshi out the window right there.
Yeah.
Get that Bowser out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they put the crystal back. Fee was not happy about it at all. But she was like, fine, you owe me one. And they put it back, and we then see the giant I don't even know what to call it. So this giant alien beast thing, ends up just falling down, plummets down. It was also about to destroy the ship, which that would have been interesting, because Tech made it sound like, I think Hunter or Tech made it sound like they would not be able to get any help. And I'm just like, couldn't they just call Rex or something? And then Rex would go and, help them out.
But they don't have long range comms without their ship.
Didn't even think about that. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Because it's not like they're dropping satellites everywhere they go. It's full. No, it's the ship is part satellite.
That's true.
And we know that even on smaller ships, there's a limit to how far they can broadcast from Obi-Wan on Kamino.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he's on Geonosis and he can't reach Coruscant, so he transmits and pings off Anakin.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
You know what? That totally went over my head.
I have been rewatching all of the Star Wars media in like the last week and a half. So it's just all up here right now.
I was about to go back and rewatch the extended edition of Attack of the Clones because I haven't watched that in a bit, but that all makes sense. I don't know why I didn't think about that. But they end up taking it down. They end up walking back to the ship, you know, not achieving their goal of getting what they wanted, but they did stop the giant weapon thing, which I think that was kind of another Easter egg to Indiana Jones, because most of the time when he goes on these adventures and he goes after these idols, he never actually, you know, takes home the idol. Like mm-hmm. he like always, you know,
it belongs in a museum.
He always gains a better treasure. Of it, it could be knowledge. It could be it could be a better relationship with his dad and family and everything like that. That's what the theme of it in Indiana Jones was, and we kind of saw that there. And then Fee was like, "Well, I also, you know, am cooking up this other adventure." And it includes a chalice, and that's a reference to the Holy Grail. And I was like, oh, nice. was the episode. It was
If the Batch goes on a Grail quest, I am going to lose it.
I'm all there for
not
it, bro.
Not in a bad way, but I'm just going to lose it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, because the next episode is called Tribe, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to think of Gungi. What that could mean. I'm hoping Kashyyyk. I'm hoping Gungi.
I'm thinking it's Gungi.
Oh, man. It's going to be so cool. So cool.
This is where Disney lets us down the way HBO doesn't. Because HBO, at the end of every episode, puts out and here's a quick 30-second teaser of what you can expect to see next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I am definitely excited. But overall, this episode, how do we like it?
It was fun.
It was fun.
I mean, just like last week's, it was a fun episode, and we got to see the internal dynamic with the Batch some more. But at the same time, even though I enjoyed it, I am still really wondering what's going on with Cody and Crosshair. And it's like, it's not that I didn't enjoy it, but almost like I was... Like I keep expecting to see the core storyline of the season, I guess, if you want to call it that. I guess we don't know if it's the core storyline, but I keep expecting that going into the episodes. And even though I enjoy the episode, it's still just that question of what's going on with Crosshair and Cody is nagging at me. And it makes me really anxious to get back to that.
Fair enough.
I kind of feel the same way. I'm hoping that this is just Lucasfilm trying to get as much of the campy episodes like done out of, like earlier in the season. That said, it's being an animated show. 16 episodes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so far we are at
five.
So
11 to go.
Four have been campy, or at least campier than the one that stands out as the darkest story.
Yeah. You guys already know my opinion, but I'll say it again. It's what Hunter said, but give me Crosshair. And even if it's not Crosshair, I would like to see a little bit more of the plot, whether that's Rex, whether that's the Batch and Rex. Like, you know, I'm always going to sue for Crosshair. But, you know, you could also, I'd like to see some more of that, like, main storyline. It was fun, for sure.
We knew we were getting another season, like, midway through the last Bad Batch, Whereas I wonder if what we'll do with this one, if they'll announce anything midway through this season.
I would bet Star Wars Celebration. I bet. I bet that's where we'll find out. I mean, they could announce it at the end of March, but at that point, it's just like Celebration is happening the second week of April, and the Bad Batch ends on the 29th. So it would just make sense for them to be like, oh, hey, guess what? Season 3 of the Bad Batch. Get ready.
Yeah, you know? They'll hold on to that secret for Celebration.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
I also wouldn't be totally surprised if, I mean, I hope it's not, but I could see Disney wanting to end the Bad Batch and then transition into another animated property as well.
Yeah.
People really love the Clone Wars animation style. Like, it's such a classic.
The Tales from the Jedi. So,
yeah.
Yeah, they could lean more heavy into that.
Because I feel like they have like a whole studio where they can make a lot of different things with the same kind of animation.
Right.
And I wonder in my prediction, I think that they'll do something with High Republic or Old Republic in this animation style.
Yeah.
I would guess High Republic because they seem very hands off on the whole idea of the Old Republic.
Because
Until Acolyte, but I think the bigger issue is we have with anything it's the same issue we have with any trying to translate a video game into a not video game property is people are going to kick and scream about it not being the same as their story. And you're just like, of course it's not the same as your story.
I just want to see Stab Christian. You don't need to call me out like that.
I mean, I was more thinking about if people were trying to bring Revan into the canon.
No, I know.
Okay.
We get it.
This is not the Revan you played in KOTOR.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not your RPG character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what they'll do with like our extra Sith characters that we know of, and they exist, but what kind of stories they'll end up bringing to it in canon.
Yeah, because they've brought some of them back into canon with episodes of the Clone Wars or references and other stuff. I think it was they talked about Bane, right, in season 6 of the Clone Wars,
the lost episodes.
Yeah, and stuff like that. So you know they're thinking about it, but I also wonder if they're ever even going to touch it or if they're just afraid.
Yeah,
we'll have to wait and see. For other news, besides this episode. We have the actor who played Han Solo in Solo, Alden, has stated that he would love to finish the young Han Solo arc because he feels like there was a lot more story to his character. Like, I mean, of that version of Solo. How do we feel if they did Solo 2? I don't think they will. I think they would maybe do something like a Crimson Dawn show or something like that. And even now that seems kind of iffy. But how do we feel about him coming back as a version of Han Solo?
I am hashtag make Solo 2 happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really enjoyed it watching it in theaters. I watched it in theaters 3 times in the first opening week. That's how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And even though it felt different to Harrison Ford's Han, it felt very much like this is clearly the precursor to that Han.
Yeah, I loved Solo. I'd love to see another one too.
And there's some good questions raised at the end of Solo. We're like, oh wait, where does this go? Wait, I need more.
Right. Yeah, and Solo always is gonna hold a special spot in my heart because of the red carpet premiere and stuff, but like I went into that movie kind of expecting to not like it, at least not really feel right with someone other than Harrison Ford being Han. And it totally sold me. And I loved it. I loved the movie. And just like what you guys said, it opened up a lot more questions, like the whole Crimson Dawn thing. And I think that could be explored in a show, like Colin said. I think they've done it a little bit in the comics, but I think that could fit in a movie or it could fit in a show. I know when Alden signed his contract, it was for 3 movies. Mm-hmm. So I could see that happening before a show, probably.
Okay.
But
also, Ron Howard, who directed it, has been very vocal in the same way that Ewan McGregor was very vocal about it. It's definitely not happening.
Yeah.
I actually don't think I ever asked you this question, Hunter, but when Darth Maul showed up, what was the reaction?
People screamed and cried.
Well, I just remember because I went to a private screening for it, and I don't know why, but none of the people wanted to stay, so I was just in this theater by myself. And as soon as like he popped up on screen, I jumped out of my chair and I just started pacing across the theater and was like, "What does this mean? How is this like?
Yeah, right? Like, yeah,
what's going on?"
Yeah, I guess we're kind of used to it at this point because it's been a few years.
Yeah.
But it's a wasn't really he
meant
wild
to be like thing. The original villain?
Yes. The original plan for the sequel trilogy was a Darth Maul villain.
Which is nuts.
Again, somewhere in Bob Iger's attic is the script and just plot of the sequel trilogy that George Lucas came up with. And I would love to read that because I'm really curious of what the fallout like the full description of what George's vision of the sequels were, because we know that it definitely was going to have Darth Maul, you know, kind of hiding out in the unknown regions and stuff like that. But I would love to know every detail because I bet that story was very interesting and amazing, and I'm mm-hmm. just baffled that they didn't
wild.
Go with it.
George has some wild ideas that oftentimes don't get tamed until it has to get translated to the screen. I'm sure any draft of a story that he had for sequels was just nuts.
I guarantee you that whole plot was just Max Rebo driven, like the
I'm sure it was on. Yeah, totally.
And in other actor news, you have most of the cast of Kenobi want to come back for season 2, and it sounds like they are in talks of trying to make a story that works for season 2, because you have the end of of Kenobi, of where he's being guided by Qui-Gon deeper into the Dune Sea, and then it mm-hmm. kind of leaves it at that. How would we feel if they ended up doing season 2? And if they did, what would you want to mainly see? I personally would love to see a very Vader-driven story, even more than what we got in Kenobi, and maybe even not be season 2 of Kenobi. Maybe make it the Vader series. And I know that the whole entire Skywalker saga is mainly about and Anakin Skywalker. I understand that, but I would love to see a Darth Vader in his prime, story.
Anakin, the whole saga is your spin-off movie.
Yes.
I really, really loved Kenobi, but at the same time, I would be kind of cautious going forward as far as what that story is, so it doesn't feel like it's too much. Sorry, I'm getting over a sinus infection.
You're good.
But I think a story, like you said, that's driven by, or maybe driven by Kenobi, but from the perspective of Anakin, would be super, super cool and an interesting way to frame that story. You could take a look at through the eyes of other characters too. I know there was rumors of Cody being a bigger part in season 1, and they could have like that. So now people
not,
know.
Not even out. A rumor. Deborah Chow said that they cut it on a panel.
Right. And so it's pathetic. So like that's a thing that's out there, and that could totally be explored. And now people know Kenobi's out there, so they're going to be looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be where Cody comes in, and we see just kind of a story that's driven by Kenobi, but he's only tangentially in that. And it could be through Cody. It could be through Vader. There's a lot of ways we could look at it where it's not something that's going to take Obi-Wan out of the place that he is when we see him in the first season.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sorry.
I think any second season of Kenobi is going to have to lean heavily into the force training aspect of it. Like heavily into it, yeah. Kind of the way we had it for Yoda at the end of season 6 of Clone Wars.
We have it in a comic book form right now, so I'm kind of like, where would we go with this?
I think Liam Neeson will have to play a very large role. Like,
he's always down to come back. Yeah. He's always down to it. He's voiced Qui-Gon in every property. And
it wouldn't be the first time they've run over stuff laid out in the comics either. So
That's true. I mean, Tales of the Jedi and season 7 of Clone Wars so good. Just ran a roughshod over the Ahsoka Tano book.
Right.
I remember when Liam Neeson came back for the lost missions for the Clone Wars, and I just remember hearing his voice and was like, there's no way that's Liam Neeson. And I just like, I was just so baffled. And we learned so much about the Force. And then we, learned about like how Yoda got where he was in Empire Strikes Back and everything. And I was all for it. And I loved that Liam Neeson, loves the character of Qui-Gon Jinn. And he just keeps coming back for him over and over again. And the fact that he showed up for Obi-Wan Kenobi was amazing. Yeah.
He also voiced Qui-Gon in the Mortis arc.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He came by, dropped a couple lines and left.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, that's really all he needs to do. Cause it's like, it's Liam Neeson. This man trained Obi-Wan Kenobi. He was Aslan and he trained Batman. Like, I mean, like, I love Liam Neeson. So, and
Disney's been very good with their commanding voices.
Yeah.
Star Wars has been very good with their commanding voices. So it's always good knowing that he's still around to be able to continue with this kind of fun voice. I mean, I would love to see more Vader stuff for sure. But I mean, we have like comic series that kind of delve into that. And I don't know how we would see that on screen. I definitely think that Liam Neeson's coming back to do something like that would be one of my top ones that I would want to see. I'm kind of done with our Skywalker feel for now, but I mean, well, only time will tell at this point.
And not just that, which is something I don't think we talked about last week. I think we talked about on a Patreon, but John Williams is not retiring. He is going to keep doing music for different projects, most likely Star Wars for sure. He like hasn't said which projects he will be doing, but most likely it's going to be in Star Wars and everything. How do we feel about John Williams just going strong? Because he's
it's
up
a
there.
Soft retirement. It's a soft retirement.
I just think to me I think he was, of just hanging out in a hammock somewhere, just being like, all right, cool, I'm done. And then they were like, Star Wars is like, of the new Star Wars films are coming out, 2025. I think he's like, you know what? I don't want anyone touching those. Hang on. And he hammock and he just goes to his piano.
I could see him going all the way through and creating a lot of like core themes.
Yeah.
For a lot of different characters or different, like, oh, this kind of dark side theme has to stay constant in any future media. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to start seeing it transition to a lot more other composers for the majority of things.
The other thing,
man's in his 90s. He deserves to relax.
Well, I mean, him and Ludwig like doing music together would be great.
Oh,
I would
my love gosh, to hear
that. Yeah. Him and the Kiner brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. He could really be cool. In like a more consulting or director role for all of the Star Wars music to, like Christian said, just set up motifs that follow through with certain characters.
I just don't think there's anyone like John Williams, and it's just like Beethoven. Like it's just people tried and it like to kind of take over the type of genre of Beethoven, and they couldn't do it. And John Williams just came in, and he's just like that. I don't think anyone could ever do what John Williams did, because he changed the way that we kind of listen to music and films. Because I remember watching E.T., and I'm not sure if everyone here knows the story, but for E.T., no joke, Steven Spielberg wrote certain scenes around the score that John Williams did. John Williams made the score for E.T. without even seeing like most of the film. So that whole ending scene of where the kids are on the bikes and then, you know, E.T. goes on the ship, the whole 10-minute score, that scene was written specifically for that score. And John Williams just made that. And it just baffles me that of the genius that he is. And I don't think any of us will get over the fact, you know, how amazing the score for Phantom Menace was, and for Revenge of the Sith, for all the themes. You've got Duel of Fates, you've got Battle of Heroes, Anakin versus, you know, Obi-Wan. It's great to have music like that makes the different scenes and moments feel larger than they actually are. And that's just the beauty of score making. And something that we talked about on the Patreon as well, which I don't know why David's so excited about this, but the new movie's coming out. There's a chance that it's going to be, which I really hope that they stay away from it, is that it's going to be episode 10, 11, 12, and that it would continue the story of, you know, Rey and Skywalker saga and everything. And I want them to stay away from the Skywalker saga. I want them to...
You too.
I just want them to explore something different. I think the Skywalkers have had their story told. I don't want them to continue the, you know, story of the Skywalkers. How do we feel about that? Like,
Yuuzhan Vong?
Yeah. Well, I just don't want them to do anything with the Skywalker legacy. I think they've told that story.
I agree, with one exception, being live action Clone Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, now, please.
That is fine. That's 100% fine with me. I just don't want, you know, I mean, I love Rey. I love Poe. I love those characters. But I think that time, those stories have been, you know, told. And I just don't really want the continuation of that.
I would be okay even if it was a Rey or Poe or Finn story that wasn't a numbered episode, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because episode 9 did close out the Skywalker saga.
But it left a lot of plot holes.
Well, that's a discussion for another time.
But J.J. Abrams, what?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, they're still out there and they're still going to be doing good in the galaxy. And I think there's room for stories about them that are separate from the Skywalker stuff.
You can go watch the Lego Holiday. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do love Legos and I love Star Wars. That's perfect.
Well, I don't think we really talked about it, but how did you feel about the. So there was the summer vacation special and they spend most of the time in the Halcyon. How did you guys feel about that? Because I know your trip's coming up, so.
I actually have not watched that one.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
I'm in that same boat.
Okay. I would definitely check
stay it out. Away from most Halcyon-related things.
But it's actually a lot of fun. And the song Scarif Beach Party by Weird Al is fantastic.
Oh, wait. No, I did watch that one.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Yeah, because I was like, dude. It's got Weird Al. You have to watch it.
Yes, yes.
And I remember when that came out and of the trailer, and the first thing that he posted was, so am I technically canon? And I was like, yes, bro, yes. So yes. I love those type of stories. In those holiday specials, they actually did kind of continue the story of of the sequel characters. Because in the one where like it's like the Life Day one, so it's like, you know, the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, and that one where they travel through, you know, different times, it's a whole thing, it's weird. I love that one because it definitely did continue the story of the sequels in a way, and in a way to me it's canon because Max Rebo is alive, and they actually definitely talk about, you know, of like, oh hey, you know, hey Max, how's it going? Where's the rest of your band? And then Max kind of, you know, kind of talks about, you know, how they're all dead. And then Poe's like, oh, I'm sorry, dude. And then they just can, you know, continue on. I'm like, oh, cool. So to me, that's canon. Everything else, eh. But to end it off, to end the podcast tonight of our episode, they have finished wrapping Skeleton Crew. Skeleton Crew is coming out this year. We don't know when. Most likely it's going to be coming out sometime this summer, going into the fall. Hopefully behind that will be the show Acolyte, which I'm very, very excited for because it's our first live action adaptation of the High Republic. And I think that's going to be super, super exciting. How do we feel about all of the new... All right, so do we feel that there's... too much Star Wars happening this year, or is it just like, oh yeah, I want more Star Wars, like all the way, like come on, because there's a lot of projects happening, a lot of projects, especially
I feel like everything coming out is different enough.
Yes,
that I'm okay with it.
It does not feel like Marvel's release schedule where it's just so much of in the same time frame, whereas this all feels very different.
Yeah, because Phase 4 for Marvel was just left and right of just different projects coming out, and I just remember it being a lot, and because of that they announced that they're gonna dial it back for Phase 5, which I think is a smart idea. But for Star Wars, I think it's great because Christian, you're right, we are covering different time periods in Star Wars, and I think it's gonna be a huge stepping stone to when we do get the Acolyte, because it's going to be, you know, taking place in a time period where we're not dealing with stormtroopers and we're not dealing with anything that has to do with the Skywalkers or, you know, of that type situation. It will be in its own kind of pocket, you know, of the Star Wars universe, where it's not leaning heavily on what happened in the Skywalker saga. And I know it will lead directly. I mean, at some point it will lead into the era of the Phantom Menace and everything like that, because we know that it's at the end of the High Republic. But I think it's going to be great because we're not leaning towards, you know, main Skywalker characters. We know Yoda's alive during the time. It hasn't been confirmed if Yoda's going to be making an appearance. I would love that. I would love to see a younger version of Yoda. But yeah.
Acolyte takes place how many years before the Phantom Menace? Because if Yoda's 900 years old in Empire, and this takes place during the High Republic, which was described as being about that time frame of like almost 1,000 years before the events of the main Skywalker saga.
Oh, okay. So the High Republic is taking place 200 years before the events of the Phantom Menace. And
isn't it further than that?
I believe it was 200.
Okay.
But
it spans in the book. It goes like way in the past and present. So
yeah.
Okay. Because I know the way in the past part, I'm kind of like, okay, at that point, you know, if we know at least for the first minimum 50 years of Yoda's lifespan, he's no more, you know, composed than Grogu. So
for the show, it's taking place near the end of the High Republic era.
Okay.
I think David said it was going to be 100, but I don't think that's been 100% confirmed yet. But I like how we are going to see the transition of the Jedi in their prime to where they're all happy and everything's great, and they're not really driven by the Senate to where they will turn into, you know, of what we see in Tales of the Jedi, where it's mainly politics, and they are, you know, kind of driven by the Senate and everything. And I'm really curious if they're going to show that in the show of why they go that route. because in the High Republic, it sounds like, you know, the way things are ran, especially how the Jedi are dealing with things, it's very more fluent than what we see during the Clone Wars and during the prequel era. So I'm really curious in how that will transition into what we see in Tales of the Jedi and the Phantom Menace and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think overall, I would prefer if maybe not this year or next year, but going further into the future, Star Wars shifts away from TV shows for some characters or some kind of stories and goes back to making movies, because I missed seeing Star Wars on the big screen.
I do too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
2025.
Right.
2025 is when we'll be going back to the cinema, which I've been saying for a long time. Star Wars, I mean, listen, I love The Mandalorian. I love all these shows, but Star Wars began on the big screen, and that's where it needs to come back to, because I don't think any of us will ever get the, you know, shake the feeling of those moments of, you know, cheering and just like feeling the emotion of everyone in the theater. Because
I think it was
such a fantastic feeling.
It was the year before Empire came out, where they did a re-release of A New Hope in theaters, with the TV spot being of, if you only ever saw it on your TV, you've never seen it the way it was meant to be seen.
Yeah.
And they're not wrong. It's big screen stuff. It's supposed to be the kind of thing where you sit there and get blasted by the biggest speakers on the planet.
Yeah. I will always remember when Revenge of the Sith came out, because it came out on my birthday, and I went with my dad and my brother. And my dad, you know, he's a Star Wars fan, but he's not like you, like a big Star Wars fan. So
he's
my, So my brother, my brother and I were just, you know, sitting there, not really knowing what to fully expect, because we like saw a couple of trailers. And at that age, I was like, wow, like these movies are, you know, still going, like, this is great. And I just remember sitting in the theater and just everything going on. And then Order 66 happens. I'm crying. And my dad's like, what the heck are you doing? And I'm just like, no. So it just shows you like how much, you know, like how much these movies mean to people. And I also remember when Obi-Wan and Anakin were fighting, and that was just a huge deal. Even though we all knew it was going to happen, I just remember everyone was on the edge of their seats like during that fight. And that fight was some of the best cinema I've seen. Because there's so much, like, you know, happening during that, and there's so much emotion happening through the fight, and then you have the king that John Williams is with his score, you know, he put in, and it's just fantastic. And I think with the new movies coming out, I think we need to get back into that. I don't know what era it will be in, but I want to I think what they need to do is they need to come up with something original, very similar to what George did, you know, with A New Hope. I think they need to not, you know, start from scratch and rewrite everything, but I think they need to go to an era where they're not using the Skywalkers as a crutch. I think they need to start fresh and work on their own things, and then they can use characters. They can come up with these new characters that we fell in love with, like Luke, Leia, and Han. I think that's what they need to do. I don't want them to do that with, you know, Rey and Poe and all of them. I want them to do that with new characters that we can fall in love with, and a different era that we can fall in love with as well.
Maybe a little out of left field, but I'd love to see a movie series or a show series that focuses on the Chiss ascendancy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, especially if you set that far enough back in the galactic timeline, you could then possibly get a translation error, which is how the name Skywalker comes to be.
Yes, that would be so cool.
No, that would be cool. That would be cool. They have so much content that they can cover. And that's the great thing about Star Wars, is there's so much content to cover. Mm-hmm. And there's so much history. But yeah.
I'm just excited for more Star Wars.
Yes. And I cannot wait for Celebration. I don't think it's really hit me yet. I don't think it's even hit Josh yet that Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So yeah, it's super, super exciting. But for everyone, please go follow Hunter, Christian, and Star. They are fantastic and they do so much for the Star Wars community. I'm so blessed and grateful to call them friends, and I'm so glad that you that all of you are able to come on every week and just be nerds and just talk about the Bad Batch. It's fantastic. You can follow Hunter, Christian, and Star on Instagram and TikTok and other social media platforms at @Jag_I_Hunter, Kenobin underscore around, and Star Spangled Comet. Please go follow them. You can also follow us on Instagram at Star Stuff Podcast, on Twitter at Stuff Pod. We're also on Patreon. We have super, super cool content on there. Go check it out. We're also on TikTok. Search Star Wars Stuff Podcast. We also have an email, Star Wars Stuff Gmail. At gmail.com. We're also on Facebook. Thank you for everyone on Facebook that is listening to us right now. Star Stuff Group and Star Stuff Podcast page. Go on Apple Podcasts. Please give us a review. We also have our own website as well, where it links you not to only just our profiles, but also to our sister podcast, the Star Wars the Marvel Stuff Podcast. They talk all things Marvel. It's super, super great over there. And then we just started this, and we just changed our name to Star Stuff Gaming on Twitch. This week we are getting a big group, and we're playing Ewok Hunt. So get ready for that, because that's just going to be a bunch of nerds talking about Star Wars and trying not to die from small bears with spears. But from myself, Christian, Josh, Hunter, and Star, thank you so much for listening. We love you all. May the Force be with you. Always.